Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Pei Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today we will be beginning 10 lines from the top of Daf Pei Aleph. You will notice Rav Hamnuna's name is underlined. Before getting into the Gemara itself, let us glance at the outside margin where we feature a Nosei Mivneh heading. Nosei, topic, Mivneh, structural note. In our Gemara markings, the Shas Ozer, which is the cornerstone of our system, which is featured on your screen, has topic headings and structural notes as each new sugya appears. In this case, we've combined the topic and structural note together, and we have written, you'll notice a Roman numeral 1 and 2 next to each other, Shnei Lishonos Barav Hamnuna, two versions of Rav Hamnuna, Be'inyan Oysoi Vesbenoi I Noyheg Bekochim. Does the restriction of Oysoi Vesbenoi, the prohibition of slaughtering a parent and offspring animal on the same day, is that restriction applicable to the realm of sacrifices, korbonos? Before starting the Gemara itself, just to structurally become familiar, you see Rav Hamnuna's name is underlined, and to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a Roman numeral number 1. Toward the lower quarter of the page, a quarter of the way up from the bottom, you'll see a Roman numeral number 2 encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and there is a squiggle underline, Ela Omar Rova. The squiggle underline indicates the point at which the Lashon changes, and you see, once again, Rav Hamnuna's name is underlined, being the second version. So, the Gemara now continues. Omar Rav Hamnuna. Omer Hoya Rabbi Shimon. Rav Hamnuna, who was an Amora, he features the Tana Rabbi Shimon, claiming that he said, Ein Oysoi Vesbenoi Noyheg Bekochim, that the restriction of Oysoi Vesbeno, of slaughtering parent and offspring on the same day, that restriction does not apply to the realm of sacrifices. Two animals that are sacrifices, let us say a mother and its offspring, were both dedicated as a sacrifice. According to Rabbi Shimon, the Torah restriction of shechting, of slaughtering parent and offspring on the same day, would not apply in this area. My taima, why is that so? Answer, Kevon di Omer Rabbi Shimon Shchita She'eno Ruya Lo Shmo Shchita. Since Rabbi Shimon has a principle, and that is that any slaughtering that does not directly lead to one's ability to eat the slaughtered meat, that kind of Shchita is not considered Shchita. And as we noted in the past, Oso Vesbeno is violated only if the Shchita process is done to the animals, not if they are, let us say, killed. But Rabbi Shimon's definition of Shechita is, it has to be a Shechita that leads to the eating. However, Shechitas Kochim Nami, Shechita She'eno Ruyahi. The nature of the slaughtering when it comes to sacrifices, the slaughtering of a sacrifice is not that which enables it to be eaten. In the case of sacrifices, in addition to the slaughtering, you need to also do a blood application to the Mizbeach. And in the absence of the blood application to the Mizbeach, the Shechita would not bring the meat, would not make it roi l'achila. This, of course, is in contrast with the Shechita of Chulin, where immediately after the Chulin, the common meat is slaughtered, one can partake of it. But since Shechitas Kochim necessitates Zrikas Hadam as well, the Shechita per se is not Ro'oi, is not Ro'i L'Achila. And Rabbi Shimon, just to repeat ourselves, holds that a shechita that doesn't bring to eating is not considered a shechita. And that's what the Gemara says, shechitas kodshim nami, shechita sheino ruyohi. At this point, the Gemara raises a question. You can see, textually, it takes up quite a few lines. This, you can see by virtue of the long question marking we have to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a kuf that appears, which is encircled with a descending vertical dash line. All of these lines of Gemara that are opposite the vertical dash line constitute the question. As far as the first part of the question, we're presented with a Tanaic source, but it itself needs to be reread. And that's why you see initially a frame that's around the initial Tanaic source, and then the re-understanding of it will be in the following framed section. So the point of the question will be to demonstrate that Oso Vespino does apply to Kodshim. With that having been said, now the Gemara. Mosiv Rava. The Tanaic source begins. You can see it's in a frame, as all Tanaic sources are in our Gemara marking system. Oisoi vezbenoi kodshim bachutz. Two animals, both sacrifices. The two animals, one is a parent and one is the offspring. And they are slaughtered outside. Bachutz means outside the Azara. Reb Shimon Omer, Sheni Belosase. The slaughtering of the second one involves him with a negative violation. Shoya Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kohoroi Lovo La'achar Zman, anything that would be fit to be brought after a while, in other words, if you have something that can't be brought today, let us say it's too young or its parent was shechted, but you can bring it another day just by waiting. So if you slaughter it outside, if you slaughter that sacrifice outside prematurely, harehu beloi sase ve'ein bo kores. So there will be a violation of a negative command, the negative command of do not slaughter outside the Beis HaMikdash. However, it won't carry with it the standard penalty of kores, which is characteristic of shchutei chutz. The Chachamim omrim kol she'ein bo kores eino belo saseh. As far as the Chachamim are concerned, it's kind of like an all or nothing. If there's no kores, which is a severe penalty, so if there's no kores, there will also be no violation of the lo saseh, of the negative command. In other words, the Rabbanon, unlike Rabbi Shimon, don't make a distinction. V'kashyalon, and it is difficult to us, we ask, Kochim b'chutz, sheni b'loisase v'sulo. Why does Rabbi Shimon say that in this case, where you're dealing with two sanctified animals, and the second one as well was done outside, why does he say there's only a negative command and not any more? Kamo miktal kotil. The first one, being that he did it, he shechted it, bachutz, that's a shechita she'eino ru'uya. That is the equivalent of simply killing it. If that be the case, the second animal, before it was shechted outside, it could have been brought in the Beis HaMikdash. There would be no restriction of Oso Esmo. As we've said in the past, Oso Esmo applies only where shechita is done. But where the equivalent of simple killing is done, then the second animal can be shechted that very same day. As a result, the second animal, what was in fact roi to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash? That's what Sheini Miskalbuf Nimhu. As a result of that, Korei Sami Lechayev. If you decide to shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash, being that it was a candidate to have been brought in the Beis HaMikdash, it should carry with it the Korei's penalty as well. So why does Rabbi Shimon say there's only a negative command and not Korei's? The Omar Rava, Vermilo Kidi, Rava says, and some say that without a name, without quoting anyone, Chisure Mechaser Vahochikotani. We reread the Tanaic source as follows. the rereading, V'hochi Kotoni, Kotshim Shnehem Bachutz. We're dealing with a parent and offspring, both of whom are sacrifices, and he does both of them, he shechts both of them outside the Beis HaMikdash, L'Rabbonan, according to the Rabbonan, that Shechita She'eino Ruyo is Shechita, that an unfit Shechita, Shechita that's unfit for eating, is categorized as Shechita, Rishon Onush Kores, Sheini Posul Upoter. The first one is a straight out case of violation of Shchut Echutz, and therefore it carries with it the Kores penalty. The second animal is an Osov Esbeno problem, because even though the first one Shechted was a Shechita Sheino Ruya, nevertheless, according to the Rabbanan, that's called Shechita. Hence, the second animal, which is also a sacrifice in this case, cannot be brought. And since it cannot be brought as a sacrifice, it's not going to be guilty of Shechut Echutz. Therefore, it is Posel, but it's Potter from the violation of Shechut Echutz. L'Rebbe Shimon, Shnehem Anushim Kores. And this comment of Rabbi Shimon is in line with that which we taught before, that we pointed out before, that since you're dealing with a Shechita Sheino Ruya regarding the first animal, the Shechita Sheino is not called Shechita. Therefore, there is no Osov Esbeno problem. And as a result of that, the second one really was fit to be brought in the Azara. And if you do it outside, it carries with it a Kores penalty. Another case, Echod Bechutz ve'Echod Bifnim, two animals, parent and offspring, one done outside, the first one done outside, the second one done in the Azara. L'Rabbonon Rishon Kores, the first one which was done outside carries with it a Kores penalty. Sheni Posel Upoter, the second one was not fit to be brought, even though he brought it in the Azara, it's not fit to be brought in the Azara. And if one did it, so he is bringing it b'mechusar zman, and it's therefore posel as a korban, and poter, meaning there's no violation of, there's no problem of oso vesbeno, of shchut echutz regarding the second one, it was done inside. The Rabbi Shimon Sheni Kosher, according to Rabbi Shimon, the second animal, which was done in the Azora, since the first one was a Shechita Sheino Ruya, and according to Rabbi Shimon, Shechita Sheino Ruya is not Shechita, therefore there is no problem of Osov Esbeno. And that's why Rabbi Shimon says the second one will be kosher. Echad Bifni Vechad Bechutz, here the order is reversed. The first one he does inside, in the Azara, the first animal, which is dedicated also as a korban, he does it properly inside. The echad bechutz, the second animal, the parent or offspring, he does outside. The rabbonon rishon kosher upoter, sheni posel upoter. The first one done was done as a straightforward korban. It was bifnim, therefore it's kosher. And the second one is posel because it is an osov esbeno problem, and that makes it unfit to be brought today as a korban. And as a result of that, if you do it outside, which it was the case here, it's poter from Shechut Echutz. The Rabbi Shimon, Sheni Beloi Saaseh. According to Rabbi Shimon, in that case, the second one is in violation of a negative command, but no Kores, even though the second one was done outside. And now we focus on the reason we brought this entire long question in. If it were as was contended originally by Rav Hamnuna, that there is no osov esbeno restriction when it comes to kochim, sheni, the second animal that was done here, parent or offspring, whichever, amai below sasev esulo, why was the second animal, which was done outside the Azora as a sacrifice, why does it carry with it only a negative command and not anything more? Korei sami l'chayev. It should carry with it the full brunt, the full weight of the punishment of Kores for being in straight out violation of Shchut Echutz. So from the fact that it says that the second one is Beloy Saaseh and not Bekores, it sounds to us like there is an element of Oso Vespino that is playing a role here in Kochim, making it such that the second animal wasn't really fit to be brought inside. Elo Omar Rova. What we have to do is we have to review what did Rav Hamnuna originally say. Just to simply say that Oso Vespino is not nohig by Kochim, then in the case we most recently learned, the second animal should have carried with it a Kores penalty as well. Therefore, we have to reread this. Rav Hamnuna, Hochi, Elomar Rava, Hochi, Komar Rav Hamnuna, Ein Malkois, Ois Vespino, Nohig, Bekochim. In other words, there is a violation, there's a restriction of Oso Vespino when it comes to sacrifices. However, if one is in violation of Oso Vespino, he doesn't get a Malkos punishment, a lashing. Mai Taimo. Why is that? So, Kevan de Kol Kamo de Lo Zorek Dam, Lo Mishteri Basar. As long as the sprinkling of the blood has not taken place, Me'itna de Koshochit, from the point of the Shechita, we're still kind of like waiting to see whether or not the Zrika will be done. As a result of that, we're in a state of doubt. Will it come to being eaten? Will it be a Shechita that leads to eating? The Shechita itself doesn't lead to the eating. The Shechita is dependent on the Zrika. As a result of that, when I issue a warning in order to give Malkos, the person has to have knowingly violated whatever offense is under question. In this case, Oso Vespino. How do we ensure that a person is aware of his violating the offense? That's by us giving a warning. By our giving a warning before he commits the offense, that creates knowledge of the offense, and his subsequent offense would be called mazid, and therefore chayev in malkos. In order for a warning to be effective, it has to be within a few seconds of the commission of the offense. However, if the commission of the offense is not completed until either a certain amount of time passes or another act is done, the warning that I give prior to the commission of the offense is a warning that's, we'll say, lying in the balance, where we don't know at the time the warning is given whether it will ever come to violation because of the need for an additional passage of time or action. In this case, the shechita of the korban, the first animal, I don't know if that is going to be a shechita that leads to eating. I'm still waiting for the zrika to take place. So the Gemara says, Me'idna de koshachit, from the point that the shechita takes place, and prior to the shechita there had to have been a hasra, a warning, in order for there to be even a possibility of malkos. However, from the point the shechita was done, havoy hasra sofek, the hasra, the warning that I gave to the offender prior to the shechita, was a warning that was predicated on doubt. The doubt being, will the shochet, or will the shechita, be followed by a zrika? The zrika being the only way for it to be coming efshur b'achila. As a result of this, this is called a hasra sofek. A hasra sofek lo shmo hasra. A hasra that is predicated on additional passage of time or additional action, so the warning given prior to the first stage doesn't constitute a warning. And if there's no legal warning, so then there can't be malkos. V'ozda Rava Litamei. And Rava, in explaining Rav Hamnuna as he just did, is consistent with what he has said elsewhere. Rava, in describing the Shechita of Osov Esbeno as Hasras Sofek. This is consistent with what Rava says here. The Omar Rava, we've put triangles around Rava under our Nosei Mivne heading in the outside margin. We've noted a triangle, and there are Memros Shel Rava V'inyan Osov Esbeno Kodshim. There are comments of Rava made regarding Osov Esbeno, parent and offspring, with regard to sacrifices. So Rava says here, the Omar Rava, he chulin ubeno shlamim, if the mother is a mundane animal and its offspring is a dedicated shlamim sacrifice, shochat chulin v'achakach shochat shlamim, if on the same day that he shechted the chulin mother, he shechted the offspring shlamim, potter, there will be an exemption from malchus. This is a case of hasras sofek, because when the second animal is shechted, it's a korban in this case, and a korban doesn't become allowed to be eaten with the shechita itself. It needs to have the zrika done, and prior to the shechita, we don't know will it come to having a zrika done. Shlamim v'achachulin, an opposite case where the first animal of the two parent offspring, the first one is a sacrifice, v'achachulin, chayov. The second animal being chulin, which doesn't need any subsequent action, if the first one, which was a shlamim, was in fact shechted, and there's no problem in shechting the first animal, no problem whatsoever. So he shechted it, and did the zrikas adam. We know that the shechita of the second animal, the its offspring, if it happens to be chulin, will perforce be in violation of osov esbeno. That's why it says here chayav. The omar rava, he chulin uvno oila. If the parent is a chulin, a mundane animal, and the offspring is an ola. Lo mibaya, I don't have to tell you shochat chul v'achar shochat oila the potter, that if he shechted first the chulin and then the ola, that he would be potter. In other words, that's obvious. Ela afilu shochat oila v'achakach shochat chulin potter. Even if he shechted the ola first and then the chulin being something that doesn't need any additional stage in order to define the shechita. At the point of the shechita, it's already clear that a shechita is done, and it's a shechita harui l'achila. So in this case, even in this case where the first one was an ola and the second one was a chulin, potter. Why? Shechita kamaisa lav shechita basachilahi. The first shechita was not a shechita that led to eating. What was the first shechita? The first one was an ola. An ola is a sacrifice that's completely burnt, so it's a shechita that wasn't going to lead to eating. And that's why I would have thought that in that case, where the subsequent slaughtering was of a chulin, it would as the Gemara says here, the shechita kamaisa is not a shechita that leads to eating, as it is a korban ola. A korban ola is something that's completely burnt on the mizbeach. Therefore, the shechting of the second animal is not a problem of osov esbeno, and therefore he's exempt from malchus. For Biankiv, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Biankiv is cholik on Rava, and he says, Achilas mizbeach shmo achila. That is a shechita that leads to eating, so that if the first one was shechted for an ola, that was a shechita that was for the mizbeach to eat. So it's a shechita shel achila. Therefore, the second shechita, also, where the second animal was a chulin, that's a problem of osov esbeno. My taimo, the Gemara asks, how does Rabbi Yochanan know this? That the eating of the mizbeach, namely the consumption of the fire of the mizbeach, is considered an achila. In this pasuk, you can see there's a double expression, he'achol ye'achel, b'shtei achilas ha'kosam medaber. The pasuk is referring to two kinds of consumption, echor achilas adam ve'echor achilas mizbeach. And therefore, even in the case where the first shechita was as an ola, and the second one was chulin, the first shechita was a shechita shel achila. It's important for us to point out, we should have pointed out earlier, that this last discussion was within Shitas Rabbi Shimon, who holds that a shechita sheino roi l'achila is not considered shechita. But according to Rabbi Yankiv, who quotes Rabbi Yochanan, when you're shechting a korban ola, that is a shechita that's ruya l'achila in the sense that the mizbeach will be eating of it. And as long as we're discussing Rabbi Shimon, we have to constantly remind ourselves that a shechita she'ena ruya would be considered non-shechita, and as a result of that, there would have been no osav espino violation. The Mishnah. Hashoche v'nimtzo trefa. One shecht an animal found it to be a trefa, something that you cannot eat. Hashoche lavoda zara. One shechted for an idol. Hashoche poras chatos. One who shechted a pora aduma, which is not for eating. V'shor hanischal. He slaughtered an animal that is sentenced to a death penalty because it killed somebody. The egla arufa, or a person shechted a calf that was earmarked to be part of the egla arufa ceremony, which is done when a murder victim is found between two cities. That too is something that is not eaten. So Rabbi Shimon Poter, in all of these examples, since the shechita is a shechita that does not lead to eating, it's called the shechita sheinu ruya, and as a result of that, it doesn't fall into the area of osav esbeno. V'chachomim mechayvin. The chachomim say that even though these shechitas are, they'll call it problematic, they don't have eating that follows from the shechita, nevertheless, if you do the offspring on the same day, there will be a chiyuv of osav esbeno. Hashoche v'nisnab lo v'yodo v'hanocher v'ma'akir poter mishum oisav esbeno. If one did these kind of actions where he messed up in the shechita, that's shoche v'nisnab lo, he made it into a nevela, it's where he messed up the shechita. Nocher, Rashi explains nocher. Nocher ma'akir simonim midas. He punctured or ripped out the neck organs knowingly. Poter, fil rabbonan, even according to the rabbonan. Deha leka shechita klal. If this was done in the osav esbeno case, where one of them had its neck organs ripped out, even according to the rabbonan, who in general hold that shechita sheina ruya is called shechita, here they will concede that it's not a shechita at all. And this shechita of, let's say, ripping out neck organs is not similar to the shechita described earlier. In the above cases, let us say he shechted and found it to be a trefa. So the shechita itself was okay. It's just that because of a deficiency in one of the organs, it's labeled a trefa. But the shechita itself was a good shechita. So the Mishnah in its latter part describes something that inherently is not a good shechita. And therefore, the Mishnah rules that there is no violation of osav esbeno. As we've said already a few times, osav esbeno is violated only when you have a halachically accepted shechita. Before going on in the Gemara, we have Roman numerals 1 and 2, and they're featured on the outside margin. Under our Nosei Mivneh heading, you have a 1 and 2 featured Roman numerals.
Shnei machlokos, Rabbi Yochanan, v'Rish Lakish, binin lav shenitan asharas misas basin. We will see two times Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Lakish argue regarding one who violates a negative command, a lav, a negative command that carries with it the potential of a death penalty. Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, lo shanu, that shochet lavodizora is chayav because of osa espino, according to the Rabbanan, elo sheshochet rishon lavodizora v'sheni l'shulchano, when the first shechita was done for an idol. The second one, which is the problem one that activates osa espino, the second one was done for his own purposes. That's l'shulchano, literally for his table. If the first one was shechted for his own eating purposes, and the second one was shechted as service to an idol, potter, he will be exempt from the malkos. Why? The kom lei b'drabo minei. He's supposed to be getting malkos for the osov espino, which was the second one. However, in this case, the second animal was shechted as service to an idol. The penalty for service to an idol is one of a death penalty. The penalty of osov espino is a lashing penalty, and when the two coincide, as would be the case here, the lashing penalty is overlooked. The kom lei b'drabo minei, we say he, the violator, is established with to receive the greater, rabo minei, the greater of the two punishments. And in this case, it will be the punishment for serving the avodah zorah and not for the fact that it also happened to be osov v'esbeno. Omar lei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, in response to this, he says, Zu afilu tinogu shabes rabo yodin osa. This is child's play. Even children that are just starting out learning would have known this. Namely, that you don't do two punishments to one person for the same action. So the question here, the implied question is, what do I need Rabbi Yochanan to teach me this for? Even in a case where you shechted the first one for his personal consumption, and the second one he shechted as service to an idol, chayov, he will be bound. He'll be chayov to receive malchus. Kagon, for example, he was warned before shechting the second one, he was warned that if you do this, you'll be in violation of osav esbeno, but they didn't warn him that you would be in violation of idolatry. That is what Rabbi Yochanan says should be emphasized as the chiddush in the case of the shechting of two animals, one l'avodah zorah and the other one l'shulchano. Namely, that there are times where you can end up shechting the second animal, and there will be no lashing. And that was just described, where he shechted the second animal, l'avodah zorah, and then he had shechted it, l'shem, eating. And in that case, we say, kom lei b'drabo minei. He is supposed to get the greater of the punishments. And the greater of the punishments would, of course, be a death penalty, greater than the malkos. Death penalty being the greater onish, that's the rabo minei, is greater than the malkos. So for shechting and osov espino for an avodah zorah, he would get only the punishment for avodah zorah. Rav Shimon Lakish Omar, kevon dechi asru bei poter, since if they would have warned him for avodah zorah, he would have been exempt, namely from the malkos of osov espino. Kilo asru bei nami, even where they don't warn him, he would be exempt from the malkos. So we are saying here that since in potential, if he had received a warning for Avodah Zarah, even if he doesn't get the warning for Avodah Zarah, he will be exempt from Malkos. Only because of the potential. Because the offense that he did carried with it a potential for Misa. The Ozdu v'Tamayu, namely Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, are consistent with their shitas. The Chi Osar of Dimi Omar, Chayve Misos Shogian, or Chayve Malkos Shogian, two categories. One kind of person that's Chayav Misa, the other person is Chayav Malkos. The Dover Acher, and attached to his either his chiyuv misa or his chiyuv of malchus, attached to either one of those, he has another chiyuv. He has another thing that he was in violation of. Rabbi Yochanan Omer chayav, Rishon Omer poter. He'll be chayav for both punishments according to Rabbi Yochanan and exempt according to Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Omer chayav, Daha lo asru bo. He will be chayav to receive malchus because he wasn't warned for the more serious offense. He will. We should be more specific. He will be chayav the additional offense, either that which he did in addition to the chayvei misas or that which he did in addition to the chayvei malchus. He did a dover achir, another offense. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he will be he'll be chayav for that additional offense because he wasn't actually warned. Reish Lakish Omer Potter, he is exempt. Why? The Kevon the Chi Asru Bei Potter, since in potential, had he been warned for the greater offense, he would have been exempt for the lesser offense. Kilo Asru Bei Nami Potter, even if he's not warned, he is still exempt from the lighter offense because he did the lighter offense in the context of something that could have led to a death penalty. So that even if he wasn't warned for the death penalty, he still will be exempt from the lesser offense. Utsricha, and I need Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish to present their points of view in both cases. We had above a Roman numeral number 1, and this case, Roman number 2. The Iyashminan Baha, had I told you the case of number 1, which was the Osov Ezbeno in the context of Avodah Zarah, Baha Kama Rav Shimon Lakish, there Rav Shimon Lakish will say there's an exemption from Malkus. And the reason for that is because there you've got a death penalty and Malkus, and we don't do two punishments in one body. That means to lash the guy and then put him to death. Aval Baha, in the second example, Emo Modi Le Rabbi Yochanan. Without it having been taught, I would have thought that there Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish would concede to Rabbi Yochanan. That would be a case of, let's say, Chayvei Misos, someone who's Chayev Misa, and also Chayev Momen. So in such a case, I would have thought that Rabbi Yochanan would be moida to Reish Lakish, since they're not both in the body. One is a death penalty, the other is the cash. So I might have thought that Reish Lakish would be moida to Rabbi Yochanan. Therefore, I have to teach the case number 2 to show us how far Reish Lakish goes, that he's nevertheless exempt. The E Itmar Baha, had we taught only this case, Baha can Rabbi Yochanan in case number 2, had I been taught only that, only there Rabbi Yochanan says he's chayav for both. Aval Baha, Ema, Modi, Le, Modi, Le, Rav Shimon Lakish. But in the first case, I might have thought Rabbi Yochanan would concede to Reish Lakish, since both punishments are in the body. he will be chayev only for one of them, and that's the more severe one. Tzricha, therefore I have to tell you Rabbi Yochanan's opinion even in that case as well. That you, even when you have a situation of chayve malchus, or chayve mises, let's say, and chayev malchus, and he was not warned for the chayev misa, for the more strict offense, he will get the lesser offense. He, in other words, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't look at the potential that had been there, but he looks at the actual. Will he be punished for the more severe thing or not? If yes, then he won't get the less severe malchus, but if not, he will get the less severe malchus. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.